Today on the Pastor's Study, our lesson is entitled The Law of the Harvest. The Law of the Harvest. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. Father, we ask your blessing upon the lesson today. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage the saint of God who is listening today. And if there is a lost soul, Father, that's listening to this broadcast, I pray that they would come to realize their lost condition and need of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, believing in the heart that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And it's only his shed blood and nothing else that pays for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secures them a home in heaven. Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in our lesson today. And we ask all of these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's get into our lesson today, The Law of the Harvest. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians number 6. And let's read verses 7 and 8 together. And this is what the words of God say. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The laws of God are certain, sure, and unchangeable. The very certainty of God's laws, such as the law of gravity, makes it possible for us to live on this earth that God has created. We learn quickly from God's law of gravity that what goes up must come down, that the earth's gravity pulls objects toward the earth, and that we will be hurt if we try to defy the law of gravity. The same certainty applies to the law of the harvest, as we just read in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. You see, the farmer depends on this law as his assurance that the crop he harvests will be the crop he planted, not some completely unexpected crop. Amen. Again, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The law of the harvest also holds true in the spiritual realm. In verse 8 of Galatians chapter 6, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God has made it a sure thing that wrong sowing will bring bad reaping. Sometimes the harvest is delayed, but it always comes. When judgment of God on sin does not fall immediately, people are inclined to think it's not going to happen. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes with me, chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we want to look at verse number 11. Ecclesiastes 8:11, the word of God is this, says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But that thinking does not take into account the law of the harvest. Harvest does not immediately follow sowing. You see, there's a period of time between the sowing and the reaping that varies according to the kind of seed sown. The spiritual harvest may be delayed, but it is sure to come. You see, God is not mocked. Anyone who does not believe this is deceived. You see, sin will find us out. And the scriptures tells us that. In Numbers chapter 32 with me. In Numbers chapter 32, look at verse number 23. What the words of Almighty God have to say. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. God says we can be sure of that, that our sin will find us out. Now, the law of the harvest affects both the lost and the saved. The lost are without the leadership and protection of God in their lives. They may seem to get by with sin, but God has all eternity to settle the matter. There will be degrees of punishment in hell. Lost people's works are being recorded and will be judged at the great white throne. And we have in the scriptures a description of that great white throne judgment. Let's turn over to the book of Revelation in chapter number 20, and let's look at verses 11 through 15 together. The words of Almighty God have this to say. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, those whose names are not written in the book of life will not only be cast into the lake of fire, but the degree of their punishment will be based on their sins. You see, they will reap what they sowed. In this series of studies, we will first see that the saved person who goes against God, the backslider, pays both in the here and in the hereafter. We will see the harvest of sin. First, we will study the here harvest, using characters to illustrate some sins that the backslider can fall into. Look with me, if you would, first in 1 Peter chapter number 4. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 17. As we talk about, we're going to first study the here harvest. The words of Almighty God say in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And then after we study the here harvest, then we will study the hereafter harvest. The hereafter harvest. Amen. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verse number 10, words of Almighty God say this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, first, as we look at the law of the harvest, we want to look at the sin of covetousness. The sin of covetousness. And this is illustrated by the biblical character Achan. And let me give you some references that refer to where we're going to be looking at. Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 through 19. And then Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 26. Now, Achan was an Israelite of the tribe of Judah. In fact, he was a relative of Joshua, who was Israel's leader after the death of Moses. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7 with me. And once we get to Joshua chapter 7, look at verse number 18 with me. Joshua 7, verse 18. Word of God says this, "And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken." So we see then that Achan was of the tribe of Judah. But also, Achan was covetous. Look at in verse 21 of Joshua 7. The words of God say this, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." And then notice the sin of covetousness, how it brought disaster to Achan and his family. Again, Joshua chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones." My goodness. You see, Achan, he paid a terrible price, did he not? For the sin of covetousness. Now the words covet and covetousness literally mean to lust after, to passionately desire, to stretch after or reach for, the desire to have more and more, money-loving to the point of taking advantages of others, selfish and self-seeking. Amen. The covetous man is often cruel as well as greedy because of his great desire to have what he wants at the expense of all others. Thou shalt not covet is the 10th commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. It is listed with lying, stealing, murder, and adultery. These are gross, outward sins. While covetousness is an attitude of the heart, but covetousness leads to other sins, as we see in the illustration of Achan. God, through Joshua, had given definite instructions for Israel when they conquered Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, with me, verses 17 through 19. The words of God say this: "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." God told them not to take any of the spoils of that heathen city, which was accursed because of its ungodly worship and practices. They would make themselves accursed if they took the spoil of it. He also told them that the silver and gold were his, that they would be brought into the Lord's treasury. When God told Joshua of the sin that had been committed, he said Achan had taken of the accursed thing, the Babylonish garment used in heathen worship and practice, and had also stolen gold and silver, which was to have been God's. Now, as we see in verse 11 of Joshua 7, words of God say this: "Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." See? Achan said that when he saw those things, he coveted them, and then he took them and hid them in his tent. In verse 21 of Joshua chapter 7, we read, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, in 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." You see, he had coveted, or lusted after, passionately desired, reached for something God had forbidden. Achan indulged in that selfish desire with no concern for its effects on others. He became a thief, a God robber, a murderer, taking that which was God's and putting among his own stuff, and causing the death of his entire family, as we read earlier in verses 24 and 25. And not only that, as well as 36 men who died at Ai. Looking in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 7. "And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You see, my dear friends, robbing God of his money is a natural outgrowth of covetousness. It has brought destruction on many families today, just as it did on Achan's family. Achan paid terribly for the sin of covetousness. His sowing to the flesh quickly reaped a here harvest of corruption for both himself and his entire family. As we look at the law of the harvest, we're going to move on and look at the sin of compromise as illustrated by Samson. And let me give you some references for Samson. Judges chapter 16, verses 1, 4, and 6. And Judges 16, verses 18 to 22. You see, Samson was an Israelite, chosen by God for special service even before his birth. Notice what the words of Almighty God say in the book of Judges, chapter 13, and we'll look at verses 2 through 5 together. Judges 13, verses 2 through 5. The words of God say this: And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we see then that Samson was under the Nazarite vow in addition to the commandments of God to all Israel. But Samson was constantly troubled by his fleshly appetites. He sowed to the flesh, and of the flesh reaped corruption. Again, we're reminded about the law of the harvest as we began our lesson in Galatians chapter 6. Let's go back there, Galatians 6, in verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. These verses should be committed to memory, to memorize. Amen. Samson knew God's commandments, that the Israelites were not to marry the heathen people around them. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. We see this written down in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. So Samson knew what God's commandments were regarding not marrying the heathen people around them. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verses 1 through 6, the words of God say this: When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn the graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. But despite what God said, his commandments about marrying the heathen people around the Israelites, Samson kept looking at the heathen, ungodly woman, and he was attracted to them. We see that he was attracted to a Philistine woman at Timnath. Look in Judges chapter 14 with me, verses 1 through 3. And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Not only that, but he was attracted to a harlot in Gaza. Look in Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gagazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And then, of course, we're all familiar with the story of Delilah. So we see that he was attracted to Delilah, another heathen, ungodly woman. First there was the woman at Timnath, next the harlot at Gaza, and then we see Delilah here in Judges chapter 16, verse 4. And it says, And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. See? Now, Samson knew that God had set him apart for service and put a special mark on him by not allowing his hair to be cut. But Samson would not be separated unto God. He was constantly attracted to worldliness and compromise with sin. We're going to stop here. We're just about run out of time. When we come back together, we'll continue our lesson on the law of the harvest and the sin of compromise by Samson. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.